Welcome to Friends Till the End, where you've been all along, your one-stop shop for all things Friends, as we run down the classic sitcom episode by episode. I'm Michael, and I've seen Friends over a million times.
God, it's creepy. And I'm Elizabeth, and I've never seen Friends.
Nice to see you again, Elizabeth.
I'm sick of you.
It's day four.
Can I just say it? I'm sick of your face.
Oh, man.
I don't know what to do because I still have three more days of this.
It's day four of our seven podcasts in 7 days, hashtag seven and seven, as we kick off season six of the classic sitcom. We've just finished watching season six, episode four, the one where Joey loses his insurance, a harrowing episode of social commentary and drama. Roller coaster of emotions.
Indeed.
We'll get to that all in good time. But first, we've had some well wishes, Elizabeth.
We have?
Yeah. Great. Ever since you announced the pending arrival of little Gunther.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And I'm sure you won't recall because it was a few episodes ago, but you asked for suggestions for baby names.
Oh, no, I remember.
Okay. So we've had a few. Ryan Walden.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Ryan.
Yeah. You know, all that stuff. Hashtag Janice. For him.
Nah, Janice.
You like that one?
No.
Okay. Thanks for trying. Thanks for playing, Ryan.
Yep, good try.
Andy Fennick, at the Andy Fennick. Dear at Friends Pod, please congratulate Elizabeth on her pregnancy. She should, of course, name the baby Rachel.
Rachel? Why, of course?
Well, wait, there's more.
Oh, okay.
She should take it to the town hall with the intention of naming it Emily. But in all the confusion, well, you know how these things go.
Oh.
Pretty clever, Andy.
Oh.
Then he said, well, that's only if it's a girl. If it's a boy, He-Man.
Well, that's a very good suggestion.
Mm-hmm. And Adam Smith at PeaceFrog521. If it's a girl, the name should be Phoebe. If it's a boy, Phoebo.
Winner!
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, Phoebo has to be it.
You actually know the sex of the baby.
I do know the sex of the baby.
Would you care to share it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm just going to keep it a while because I want to hear more. I want more suggestions.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll either reveal it at the end of season six, what you're having, but if we get by the end of seven podcasts in 7 days... We're posting every episode every day. If, like, those links on Twitter add up to over 50 likes and retweets, we'll reveal it at the end of seven podcasts in 7 days.
Fair enough.
Sound like a deal?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's on you, people. Get out there. Get retweeting. Get liking. That's how we're going to do this. We're shifting things up again with the Friends Would You Rather. You have another one for me.
I do.
Good. I have to say, my one yesterday I'm a little bit disappointed in, so I need some time to come up with a big long list so that I can actually give... This segment could fast go the way of Bamboozled if I don't start thinking of some good ideas. As usual, if you have a Friends Would You Rather you would like me to pitch it, Elizabeth, at FriendsPod is the place to do it. But you have one for me. Hit me with it.
Okay. Would you rather star in a sitcom as a minor character that everybody loves... Or have tons of screen time and all that comes along with it and be a major character in a sitcom that everybody still loves or, you know, people don't like because that's the nature of things.
So I'm an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking me if I want a big part or a small part.
In a long-running sitcom like Friends. Like, think of a small character in Friends and then think of a, you know, one of the Friends.
Well, why would I choose a... okay,
well,
no, hang
no,
on.
Just,
yeah,
just,
okay. There is the curse of being typecasted, I suppose. Okay. Lots to think about there, I think.
And this isn't a character that you see in one episode and then never see again. I'm talking about a small character that comes up here and there or is mentioned, you know, but they're not an integral part of things, but...
So you're asking if I'd rather be a Gunther or a Ross?
Yeah.
Ooh. Tough call.
Yeah.
All right. I'll think it over. I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right. On with the show. Season 6, episode 4, the one where Joey loses his insurance. First aired in 1999 on October the 14th. Like how I switched it on you there.
Yes, loved it.
How many people watched this episode? Last episode, 21.6.
Oh, yeah.
I went first last episode. You are not doing well.
No.
I think there's a... Well, you don't need me to tell you. There's a big difference between 3-1 and 4-0. So this is really a crucial point for you on this occasion.
And I'm going first?
You're going first.
And it was 20...
21.6.
God. 19.
Ooh, all right. You're going 19. I'm going to go 20. Because I think they drop as well, but I don't think they're dropping that far.
Oh, God. I'm scared.
And the correct answer is 21.1.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, Elizabeth.
You're cheating somehow. You're the one that looks all this stuff up. You're cheating. You're a cheat.
If that makes you feel better. Oh, yeah, baby. 4-0. You got a long way to go. Don't worry about it.
I could come back.
Yeah, well, you definitely lost for our little weekly sub bet for 7 podcasts in 7 days. You can't come back to that.
Yes, I know. I realize. Cheater.
This episode opens with Rachel packing up her shit and getting the hell out of town. She's moving out. She's kind of going through all of the kitchen stuff. She turns to Monica and is like, hey, Monica, which of this kitchen stuff is mine? And she's just like, this fridge magnet.
It's a bottle opener, too.
And a bottle opener, too. That is useful.
It is.
Ross is there, too, and Ross is like, oh, hey, this is the one thing I don't have. It's like, you complete me.
Oh, God.
But then he changes it to, you complete me kitchen, because Phoebe comes in, and he doesn't want Phoebe to think that he loves her.
We all know it's true.
This is sort of the return to the bumbling lovesick teen that Ross played a lot in season 1.
Yeah. The sad Zachary is fast. Well, he's not quickly approaching around the corner.
He's not a sad sack. He's just a dart.
No, I know, but it's coming. It usually goes from lovesick puppy to sad sack, and it stays sad sack for a while.
We'll see. We'll see.
Sad sack.
Phoebe once again reiterates her warning, just being like, if Rachel moves in with you, you shouldn't put a move on her. She doesn't have those same feelings for you. And then Ross had a feeling this was coming up. He came prepared this time. He tries to turn it back on Phoebe. He's like, wow, Phoebe, you're so obsessed with Rachel. I think you love Rachel. And Phoebe's just kind of like, nuh-uh, no, I don't. He's like, ooh, we'll see.
This could have been the moment, the turning point in Friends.
What?
That reveals that one of them might not be straight.
Whoa. Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath for that.
No. But I thought maybe we were going to get a little bit of a shocker. Because, you know, you don't know a lot about Phoebe. She's mysterious. She could be bisexual.
I suppose.
I would have watched that show.
Well, you're stuck watching this one.
Yeah.
Ross gets a phone call. Not often we see a member of the Friends gang on a cell phone. Or a mobile.
Well, it is only the 99.
What year is it?
1999.
Yeah, well, sign of the times. The times, they are changing. We've come a long way since 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Because time just keeps on passing.
God.
Monica finds a couple of candlesticks in a box Rachel was packing, and she's like, hey, Rachel, I think these are mine. And then Rachel's like, nope, I bought those. And Monica's like, oh, right, I forgot. And then Rachel walks away, and she's like, that you're a liar. Good stuff. And she kind of, like, takes the candlesticks back.
She hides them in a drawer.
Yeah.
What?
Damn right.
A witch.
No, they're hers.
I don't think so.
Who are they more likely to be?
I don't know.
I think they're far more likely to be Monica's. Or Monica is far likely to know, keep track of what belongs to her than Rachel.
I suppose.
Ross's phone call was from somebody at NYU.
New York University.
Your alma mater.
Nope.
Oh.
You know so much about me.
He's been offered a guest lecturer spot. That's exciting. Would you go to a lecture run by old Ross Geller?
Well, if I was interested in the topic, I would. I don't know if...
The topic is paleontology.
Yeah, if I was a student or something, yeah.
Okay.
But not me personally right in this moment, no.
No, you wouldn't want to go right now? I just got his tickets.
Shit.
They sell tickets to lectures, right?
No, you just show up.
Ooh. At some point, like, I can't remember how this happens, but, like, they're going back and forth, and Phoebe kind of goes, oh, well, you guys are still married, she says to Rachel. Oh, you guys are still married. And, like, everyone's like, oh, shit. And Rachel's like, wait, what the fuck? And Ross is like, oh, Phoebe. And she's just like, just kidding. And everyone has a good laugh.
Wouldn't that be awful? Just kidding.
Mm-hmm. And then Phoebe, like, ends this with, like, she whispers to Ross, I just saved your ass.
I don't know why she said it. Like,
because it's funny.
But that could have been.
It's funny. Just go with it,
but
man.
But that could have been his in to tell her. But I know it would ruin him living with her.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that puts an end to this very long opening sequence. You'd be forgiven for thinking the episode had started properly, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Here come the Rembrandts. They cut off the second I'll Be There For You. Like,
did
I've
they?
Been there before. Yeah, that's why they shortened the theme music.
Oh.
That's how they shortened the theme music.
Did not notice.
The episode opens. Phoebe has a spot of bad news. Her psychic says she's going to die this week.
Yeah, she just kind of waltzes into Central Park and is like, so, I'm going to die this week.
Mm-hmm.
Very nonchalant. You know, she seems to be very accepting of major life events. She doesn't show a lot of emotion.
You ever been to a psychic?
I can't remember, but I want to say yes, like
or
a long time ago.
A fortune teller of some kind?
Yeah, maybe. Or
I mean,
a medium or something.
You believe in all that bollocks, don't you?
Maybe. Maybe.
Hmm.
Probably more a medium.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
I was going to
no!
say anything but mediums. They're the fucking dregs of humanity, man.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Well, they fucking make a profit on people's grief. They exploit it. It's not fair.
No, some people really have gifts.
Not those gifts.
You know, like how children have gifts? How, no, we all have them, but then if you don't access them, they go away. That's why children are so in tune with things, because they still have that like connection. Yes.
I hope everyone can hear me shaking my head frantically. Ah, my neck.
Whatever. I bet someone will agree with me.
Maybe one person.
Fine. That's enough. I hope some medium out there is listening. And then she comes and tells all the bad demons to come sick you in the night.
She's going to put a curse on me. Ooh.
Don't even wish that upon yourself.
I don't believe in it. I don't care.
I really think you should.
Okay, well, not gonna. Sorry.
I'm really nervous to be around you now. Because what if this medium does it and then I'm near you and, oh, God.
Well, surely the spirits can tell.
Well, they won't bother me because I believe
in
them.
So what's
and
the problem?
I tell them all to leave me alone.
All right, but if I die from some evil, vengeful spirits, it's your responsibility to take over the show.
You know I will.
You have to finish my work, my legacy.
I can't do this by myself.
Oh, you can find a co-host.
All right.
We have to finish.
I'll just line up a bunch of stuffed animals and be like, hey guys, thanks for coming.
Give it like 12 years and you and little Gunther can finish the podcast.
Aw.
Hopefully it'll still be on Netflix at that point.
There'll be a new type of Netflix thing.
Hmm. So anyway, yes, Phoebe is being very accepted of it. She sees it more of like an inconvenience. She's like, you know, in terms of psychic readings, it's the worst one you can get. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Ross comes in to Central Perk, very excited. He's prepared for his first lecture. In a moment of very poor judgment from him, he decides that his nearest and dearest are the people that he wants to run his lecture by. He hasn't learned from the past 5 years, as we've learned. If you're looking for support in your life, these people aren't really the people for it.
No.
If you like show an interest in something or something that you're passionate about that they all deem to be uncool or boring, you are not getting any support here.
I do think that if he had asked Monica when she was just around in her apartment, if she would just listen, she probably would. As a sibling.
Perhaps.
You know, if she wasn't doing anything.
But it's also just like the wrong audience. They can't understand what he's saying. They're not interested in the subject matter. Was he going to just run through the whole, hour-long lecture?
I know, that's what I was confused
in the coffee shop? Come on.
I know.
Come on, Ross. Come on.
They're just like, okay.
Anyway, he gives it very... He's, like, reading his notes very, very closely, like his cue cards.
And it's, like, monotone.
Very monotone, and he is just kind of reading it. And, like, the gang... Joey does give him some constructive feedback, to be honest. Like,
well, of all people, Joey would know. As an actor.
I suppose so, but he's like, you're, you know... He gives his feedback in a very Joey kind of way. He's like, "Hey, they're naked ladies on those cards because you're staring at them so much. You got your nose in them," and like Ross is like, "Okay, that's a good point." And then so he tries doing it again, and he like reads a little bit, and he looks up and kind of darts around again. Good,
kind
of
funny.
Good physical comedy by David Schwimmer.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
This guy.
Who is this guy?
Who is this guy? Look at him winning us over. And the gang are just like, it's boring, and he gets upset, and says, but like, really, Ross, what were you expecting? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes off. During this point, you also pointed out that there was a guy in the background who had a pretty distinctive nose.
Oh my god. It was like a ski jump. It was a fine size, but it like was so pointy, went up. Like, how do I do that? Can you guys all see what I'm doing?
People know what a ski jump is.
Like
a check mark.
Whoop. No, not like... Oh, yeah. Okay, like a check mark. Yeah. I was thinking more like...
Yeah, I mean, you like...
I know that
tracing it with your fingers isn't super helpful.
They can understand.
Yeah, they get it. Yeah, look out for this guy. He's sitting up the back by the window as Ross is giving his little speech. I didn't
look away. I don't know if it was the angle or if it was just really his nose, but...
Elsewhere, and later on... Not elsewhere. Well, it is elsewhere, but it's also later on. Joey receives a letter. He's losing his insurance because he didn't work enough last year. Don't remember the last acting gig Joey had, really.
No.
Can't think of it. I think it was that botched noodle soup commercial that he was going to be in. You nod your head. You don't remember. No. You don't remember. So he's like, I'm going to get a job because I want to be able to catch on fire so that I have insurance. And he goes off to get a job, but walks into a door. Classic Joey.
It's just so relevant.
Why?
That he just loses his insurance. Like, I just... In today's world.
Well, he's a member of SAG, right? He must be a member of SAG.
I assume so. How is he going to pay his dues?
Well, yeah, you don't work enough, you lose your insurance. Seems fair enough, I guess. You know, you got to go on auditions. Got to work.
Is he in SAG? Do you think he... Oh, because of the Dr.
Romero. Dr. Drake Romero.
Did I say Romero? Oh,
something like that. Do you even, like... You don't even like this show. You don't even care. We get tweets from people all the time, and they're like, this is my favorite show, I love it, I love Friends so much, I've seen it well over a million times, and you're just like, yeah, whatever, Dr. Darren Ramirez, fuck it, who gives a shit? Take it seriously, damn it.
One, I don't have a good memory, everybody knows that. Two, I also have baby brain.
Yeah, well, what are you going to teach your child? Like, if you're going to do a job, just half-ass it, just show up, do the bare minimum.
I thought I was saying right name, that's the issue.
Coast off of somebody more handsome and charismatic, because that's what's going on here. Get your shit together.
Romero.
Oh boy.
Romore. Wait, what is it?
Dr. Drake Romore.
Okay, that wasn't that far off. Romero, Romore, come on.
When your career takes a shift and you fall down a lift, that's Romore.
When the moon hits your knees and you mispronounce trees, sycamore.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But I actually made up that one just off the top of my head.
It's very good. You are more handsome and charismatic.
All right, thank you. I'm glad we're on the same page. So he's off to try and find himself a job. Phoebe is still alive, but for some reason very tired. So she goes to take a nap, which I thought was going to play into something later, but it doesn't.
She's exhausted from cheating death, is what she says.
Yeah, but like, they make a point of being like,
you're waiting for death.
You can go take a nap in my room, and then like, she's gonna overhear something or something. But no, that's it. She just goes and takes a nap, and it's never. It's just weird that they would take the time to set that up.
I agree.
But anyway, Rachel is continuing packing, and she finds the candlesticks that Monica had put in a drawer. And she takes them back, basically. Ross comes in. He's very happy. His lecture went well. Everybody's very surprised. It's like, oh, I didn't have to be funny or charismatic. Kind of like you on this podcast. And everyone's like, well, congratulations. We then cut to the offices of New York City's premier talent agent, Estelle!
Woo, Estelle!
We love Estelle. Good to have her back. Joey walks in and she's kind of like, well, 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 Joey Tribbiani, I knew you'd come crawling back. And Joey's just sort of like, what are you talking about? I never left you. And she's like, ooh, whoops. And he's like, I need to find work. I've lost my insurance. And he's like, all right, well, we'll do some damage control. And Joey's like, why do we have to do damage control? And she's like, well, I think someone might have been bad-mouthing you all over town. Oh. This is probably why Joey didn't work enough last year.
All because of Estelle and her misconception.
Yeah. She's losing it a wee bit. Oh, she's like, I think someone's been bad-mouthing you all over town. And Joey's just sort of like, "That those bastards." It's like, oh, bless. Poor, sweet, naive Joey. We then cut to sometime later, back to Joey and Chandler's apartment, but not for much longer. And Chandler comes home and finds Joey collapsed on the floor. He's like doubled over in pain. There's some weights lying next to him. He's wearing some joggers and some sneakers. He's been lifting weights apparently.
Wait, what are joggers?
Just like the, I don't know.
Sweatpants?
Sweatpants, yeah, thank you.
Oh, I thought your joggers were your British sneakers.
No, those are trainers.
Oh, God, I cannot obviously keep up.
I know I confused you by saying one thing in the British standard and one thing in the American standard, but that's basically my world now. I can't keep track of what's British and what's American. So anyway, he's in a lot of pain. Turns out he has a hernia. And
I called it.
Yeah, bad time to get a hernia. No insurance.
But I called it. I called that it was a hernia.
Well, he described his symptoms and you were just like, oh, sounds like a hernia.
But I said it before Chandler said it.
Thank you, Dr. Ramon.
Remore, if you will.
Okay. Monica and Rachel swing by NYU. They're supposed to be meeting Ross for lunch, but they're a little bit early, so they're like, oh, we'll just sneak into his lecture and see him in action. And they walk in, and they find him doing an English accent.
A very weird, sort of like Cockney hybrid English accent.
Yeah, it's like Cockney, and then he kind of drops in some, like, posher stuff with some of the bigger words.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's actually not bad.
Really?
Well, if we're led to believe, he just came up with it on the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's giving the lecture, and it finishes, and then he notices Monica and Rachel there, and he's just like, oh, bloody hell. Then cut to a commercial, come back from the commercial, and Monica and Rachel are quizzing him about the accent. And they're like, what the hell are you doing? What is this? And he's just like, well, I had to do something. I had to hook them in some way. So it just came out and it seemed to be working. So now I'm sticking with it.
Probably gave him the confidence because he wasn't really him. He was someone else. So he was able to give his lecture without the pressure of being like, oh, everyone's going to judge me. But it's not fully him.
The second, you know, this is Ross's second plan is in as many weeks where I don't think he's thought it through all the way. He hasn't really thought of the long-term ramifications. One of his colleague comes over and is like, oh, I was watching your lecture. Do you have time to talk? And he's like, oh, I've got to go with me sister for lunch. And then Monica pipes in with a really terrible Irish accent. So he kind of pulls her aside and is like, you shouldn't be doing that stupid accent. No more stupid accents. And she's like, ah, right. And then they go back and, oof, this is not aged too well. Rachel is speaking to Ross's colleague, but she is putting on an Indian accent.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not going to put on the accent, but she's like, oh, Bombay is really nice at this time of year.
I think she just wanted to be included. Everyone else is doing an accent, but no, it's a little...
There's a lot of accents you could have gone for. Before you jump into that. Yeah.
She could have done Australian.
Australian. Could have done another very distinct part of the United States. You know, could have done a Southern.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Midwestern.
A bit of Creole. I guarantee.
So
that, yeah, I mean, not really cool in 1999, but also super not cool.
Wait, when?
1999. but yeah, super not cool now. Joey.
20 years later.
20 years later.
Holy guacamole.
20 years later.
Very good.
SpongeBob.
Yes, I got it. Thank you.
Joey is struggling in Central Perk, just pouring himself a coffee or lifting up his coffee. He's just in pain. He's just sitting at the couch like, ugh! Can't go to the doctor.
Now, what pokes out when you have a hernia? Your muscle?
I think it's like muscle coming through like the I don't know. It's muscle poking through where it shouldn't poke through, basically.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, pretty rough.
Have you had a hernia before?
I haven't. My brother had one for quite a while and was just able to kind of go about his day-to-day life.
Didn't have to get surgery or anything?
He did eventually, but it wasn't like... Like, I think it hurt in certain positions, but like, you know, he had it for a while.
Wow.
It's kind of the downside to the NHS. You know, if it's not a, like, urgent procedure, you might have to wait a couple of months to get it treated. So yeah, this seems to be pretty severe. He's in a lot of pain, and Chandler's just like, I'll loan you the money, go get it taken care of. And he's just like, it'll be so expensive, I don't want to have to owe you that money forever, because he probably already owes him quite a bit of money. But he's like, well, on the plus side, if I just push it back in, it feels okay.
Oh god. It's disgusting.
But he's like, I've got a ton of auditions set up. Oh, sorry, I should maybe do it more accurately. He's like, I've got a ton of auditions lined up. So I just need to get one job and my insurance will be back on.
Very good.
Thanks. That was a good reading. Mm-hmm. It felt good. Phoebe is quite happy that Joey's in this predicament. She's just like, well, you know, if you don't get treated and you die, we can die together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we can come back and haunt people. And,
and Joey's just like, I don't want to die. Rachel and Monica are still fighting over the candlesticks, although it's escalated to them literally having like a tug of war over them. Then they both realize that neither of them particularly like the candlesticks, and then they just are like, oh, well, there's two of them. We'll just take one each.
But then you break up a set. You don't just want to have one candlestick chilling somewhere.
Well, like, two isn't exactly a set.
Well, you put two on a table or on a mantle.
No, you put
you don't
one
just
on a table, one in the middle of the table.
Just one candle sticking up straight like a freaking loser.
If I picture a romantic dinner sitting at a table, one
you don't
candle.
You picture two candles?
No.
You go picture to our, one little dinky
you go to a
thing.
Restaurant. They're not, there's not two candles on your table.
No, but think about, okay, the ones in the restaurant are typically the small ones enclosed in like the glass
Depends
thing.
On the restaurant, mate.
Okay, but these are long candlesticks that you put a long, tall, skinny candle in. One?
Yeah.
I think you're full of beans.
Seems completely reasonable to me, but...
What?
Anyway. Ross is in a real pickle. He wants out. He doesn't want to have to keep doing this accent, but, you know, here we are. Somebody suggests just phasing it out. You know, he's in America now. He's adjusting to it, and, you know, the accent just kind of phases out. Speaking of someone who is losing their Scottish accent with every passing day, this is a plan that I can relate to, although I must say it'll take a little bit longer than a week of classes.
Yeah, I think... That's a good idea, but slowly.
Yeah.
So slowly.
I mean, he's only a guest lecturer, so he hasn't even got the job full time right now. So I think you just write it out for your guest spot, and then, like, if they decide you want you back, there's probably going to be a bit of a transition time in between.
Yeah.
Probably a whole bunch of different students at that point. I don't know. I think you stay the course for the time being.
Yeah.
But anyway...
He goes for it.
Joey goes on his auditions. He comes across as very intense. Like, the first one is, like, a dad, and he has, like, a gift for his kids. So, like, the line is, hey, Timmy, I've got a surprise for you. But he's reading it like, hey, Timmy, I got a surprise for you. And, like, he gets, they're like, can you, like, tone it down a little bit? So he's like, okay, fine. So he sort of turns around and puts his... Like, he goes to, like, push his hernia back in, but it looks like he's got his hands down his pants. So then he turns around and he's like, hey, Timmy, I got a surprise for you. It's very inappropriate, but also pretty damn funny.
Yeah, but the casting director nips it in the bud. She's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably call the police if that happened without any other, like, context.
Probably.
He'd have to really explain himself. Second audition, it's like a dog food commercial, and he's like, pick up a bag today. And, like, they seem happy enough with his intense reading. He's like, pick up a bag today. And then they're like, okay, now you just need to pick up the bag. And he's like, can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. I can point to it, but I can't pick it up. So that one failed. So he goes into another audition. He's like, I'm here to read for the part of man. And they're like, yeah, the dying man. And he's like, yeah. So I think he's found his niche. Elsewhere, the girls seem to have made up over the whole candlestick controversy. They are now prank calling Ross. Rachel calls up and does like her own Irish accent, which is significantly better than Monica's.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And she's just like, oh, we're from the fake accent university.
That's pretty good.
I think an Irish person would very much disagree.
I love Irish accents. It's my favorite of all accents.
All right.
What?
All right.
I just think they're nice.
Phoebe comes in. She's happy. She's not going to die after all. Her psychic got it wrong because her psychic's dead.
Yep.
And everyone's like, oh, I'm sorry, Phoebe. And she's like, better her than me. Neat little bow.
Yeah. What are they doing?
Yep. Joey got the part. He is in his hospital bed, ready to give his reading. He is like a dying man in a hospital bed talking to his son. And the line is like, take good care of your mom, Jimmy. And maybe I should be an actor.
I know.
This is going
really well. Hopefully a director out there is just listening and is like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Michael, let's get him in here.
The child actor is letting him down because the child actor is meant to start crying when he says the line, but he's just sitting there stone-faced. They run through a few takes and like Joey's like, I can't keep doing this. He's like, do you mind if I scream in between takes? And the director's like, okay. So he's like, and
then that's so funny.
His action is like, take good care of your mom. So then Chandler steps in to try and help out. He's like, hey kid, look at this. And like he has Joey show him the hernia and the kid starts crying.
I would too.
And they're like, roll the camera! Chandler to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler is just allowed on set and allowed to watch because he is friends with the actor.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel is moving her stuff into Ross's apartment. There is a phone call. She answers it because it's her place now too. It's Ross's awesome lawyer on the phone. He's like, hey, I haven't heard from Ross, so I'm assuming that he's giving the marriage a try. And Rachel's like, oh, he got married again? And then she's like, oh, shit. We then cut to Ross giving his lecture, attempting to phase out the accent. It's not going terribly well.
No, it's not going well because he's doing it all wrong, Michael. He is saying a sentence with this fake accent, then he'll do a full sentence with an American accent, and then he'll kind of do half and half. It's just a mess. It's a mess.
So he thinks he's getting away with it, but then like at the end of this lecture, he's like, any questions? And somebody's like, what the fuck's up with your accent? So he kind of just has to come clean and be like, look, I'm not really from there. I really want this job. I was nervous. I hope you guys can find it in your heart to look past this and we can kind of start again. And I promise I'll be perfectly normal. And right as he says that, Rachel comes storming in, yelling at him. He's like, Ross, you fucking asshole. We're still fucking married, you piece of shit. Something like that. I may be paraphrasing a line
or
two.
That was really good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, what the hell is wrong with you? And he just sort of stares and then he's like, well, Rachel. Very kind of Dick Van Dyke, Mary Poppins-y on that delivery.
Yeah.
And that wraps up the episode. God, just like cliffhanger after cliffhanger that we seem to be ending on here. What's going to happen next?
Well, at least we know that Phoebe's not going to die.
Not this episode, anyway.
Well, yes, not this episode.
And the episode ends with Joey celebrating having his insurance. He's putting on like a baseball helmet and he's going to have Phoebe wail on him with a golf club. And then Chandler and Monica come in and they're like, hey, what are you doing? And they explain what they're doing and they're like, oh, cool. And they want to join in too. So like Monica picks up a frying pan and Chandler grabs a baseball bat.
I don't really get it.
It's just like, well, it doesn't matter if you get hurt now. So let's do dumb shit like hit him in the head while he's wearing a helmet.
Oh, I thought she was going to hit him so his hernia would go back in.
Why would he wear a helmet for that?
In case she misses and hits his head.
That would have to be a pretty dramatic miss.
So the end credits, He's already fixed with his hernia?
Yeah. It's all fixed.
Oh, okay. Because he's got health insurance. The timeline is just so confusing in these shows.
Oh, I know. It's so hard to follow. It's like watching fucking Memento.
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie that's like shot in reverse chronological order.
What?
So every scene happens like...
That is for the birds.
But then there's also flashbacks within that, which are kind of like...
No.
It's great.
No.
Christopher Nolan's best film, I reckon.
Mm.
Anyway, that was it for the one where Joey loses his insurance. You have started rating these episodes out of 10 so that it's easier for you to keep track at our end of season review.
Yes, I find it really hard just based on the name to remember what's happened.
Okay, so do you remember what you scored this in the heat of the moment?
I don't want to talk about that on here. That's just for me to remember.
Oh, all right. Well, if we get over 100 retweets, Elizabeth will review what she scored this episode
out
of 10. That's
just for me, because my memory is such shit, to remember so I can go back just and like, see the ones that are high.
Just like Guy Pearce in Memento.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh.
All right, the next episode. On day 5 of 7 podcasts in 7 days, #7and7. It's the one with Joey's Porsche. Wow, not
I
only...
I bet he gets a great job and gets a lot of money and buys a Porsche with it.
I have to tell you.
That's wrong.
Should I tell you now? I'm going to tell you now.
Okay.
In my mind, this is my least favorite episode of Friends ever.
Whoa.
I don't know if it'll hold up as that, but I know particularly Joey's storyline. Like, for me, when I think of, like, the decline in Friends episodes, this is the storyline that I think of that
oh
kind
my
of...
God.
You're like... God, that was just fucking nonsense. So, yeah, something to look forward to.
Great.
It's been a while since I've ranted on this show. Maybe we'll get a rant from me tomorrow.
But, you know, I feel like when you watch it now, you have been appreciating things more. So it could be different. Also, just look in the background. That's where a lot of the fun is.
Yeah, I don't know everyone else's subplot. So, like, I don't think the whole episode is necessarily terrible. I just hate Joey's little thing in this.
Okay.
And it involves a Porsche.
Oh, I'm all done.
All right. Thank you all very much for listening to this episode of Friends to the End. I shall reveal my answer to Elizabeth's Would You Rather in just a moment. But first, thank you all for listening. I shall reveal my answer to Elizabeth's Friends Would You Rather in just a moment. But first, a couple of things I would like to remind you all of. First of all, this was episode 4 in our 7 podcasts in 7 days. We got 3 more episodes to go in the week, all coming out in this week to mark the beginning of season 6. You can join in the fun and games over on Twitter at FriendsPod, where we have a chat and you can send us baby names for Elizabeth or suggestions for Would You Rathers. You can check us out on Instagram. We post all of our show notes over on there. You can check out our website, friendstilltheend.podomatic.net. You can support us on Patreon. Throw a couple of bucks our way to keep the show running and so that Elizabeth can support her unborn child. You can...
Do not guilt people into that. I can support my unborn child fine. Mm. What do you mean? Mm.
Just a couple of extra bucks a month.
Stop.
You know, go straight.
No. Do it only if you care about the show or feel like you want to. This isn't a requirement to listeners. It's just something
it's
that's there.
It's a joke,
there.
Of course. You're not even pregnant. This is just a scam to get those big bucks in. Other ways to support the show, if you are unable to do so financially, which is completely understandable, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a friendly rating and review, because that helps us reach a larger audience. And of course, tell a friend, word of mouth is a glorious way for us to reach a larger audience. Elizabeth, would you be so kind as to remind people of the would you rather that you posed to me at the beginning of this episode?
Yes. Would you rather be an actor in a long-running sitcom like Friends and be a major character such as one of the Friends, or a minor character that is reoccurring but minor?
Pretty tough call, I think. Not on the surface. On the surface, it seems like, oh, well, obviously I want to be the big star. Certainly the paychecks that the Friends gang are getting towards the end of the season, I think like the last season at least, they're making $1 million an episode. That is hard to turn down. And, you know, what actor doesn't dream of landing a big acting gig on a sitcom that runs for 10 years, that would be hard to turn down. And yet, you know, I don't know if... I think it's kind of a burden that the cast, the Friends cast, kind of bear now. Like, they all really struggled to kind of shake that typecasting. And I think to different degrees that frustrated the cast members to different levels. I think David Schwimmer is still like, I think he had a lot of ambitions as an actor that he never got to realize because he never got people to stop seeing him as Ross. So kind of a double-edged sword, I suppose. And of course, like if you're a smaller character, you can live on forever, like as a sort of beloved cult hero, like a Gunther or a Dr. Richard Burke. And I dare say they're making a pretty penny with the residuals that they make on this show as well. So don't check your watch. This is I'm complimenting you. This is a more detailed, layered question. It's quite hard. But at the end of the day, $1 million an episode. Hard to turn down. I think I would rather be a big star.
It's all about the money, eh?
Well, kind of.
I'm shocked. I thought you were going to say like a Gunther or a Mr. Krager. Is that his name?
No.
What's his name?
Mr. Traeger.
Traeger! Okay, I was off by one syllable.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather people remember my name. Ain't nobody getting Ross wrong. Everyone knows who Ross Geller is.
Okay, no, fair enough.
Yeah, I think I gotta go with that.
I'd be interested to see what other people think. Are you putting these polls out?
They are out as we release them, so cool. Check them out at FriendsPod. Connect the poll to the link of the episode, so you can check it out there. All right, buddy. 4 down, 3 to go. You're doing great. I know it's like, after 6 p.m., so you're about ready to crash out now.
It's true.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.